Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-404-5333.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Main Menu Live this week. This week, we bring to you Raul Gallegos, who is actually now working for GW Micro. Many of you will remember him from appearing on ACB Radio Interactive. But before we get into that, Daryl, welcome.
Good evening, everyone.
Yeah. We wanted to cover a couple of small technology topics before we get into tonight's topic. And the first thing I wanted to mention was that the new Windows Hotmail is now available at hotmail.com. For those of you that already have a Hotmail account, you can simply go in and opt in to the new version. It is no longer beta and is completely accessible as long as you use the default layout. They do have an Ajax-oriented version of Hotmail. And unfortunately, that version is not accessible at this time. They also announced that in the coming weeks during the month of May, they're going to be providing a beta version of the Outlook connector. This actually used to be available when MSN was more prominent. And they are now making this a freebie to everybody who either has Outlook 2003 or Outlook 2007. This will allow you to synchronize all of your mail and contacts and calendar items between Hotmail and your local desktop.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, similar to Plaxo. And then they're going to be coming out with a new Windows Mail desktop client. That used to be what it was called when it was under beta. Not really exactly sure what the new name is, but it's going to replace Outlook Express, and it's even going to replace the client that's built into Vista itself, actually. So I guess Vista's email client is short-lived. So it will be interesting to see. Eventually, that will be a client that is advertising-based, meaning that advertisements will be seen in the inside of the client. But during the beta, the advertisements will not be there. So you want to take it from there, Daryl?
Okay, yes. Filder 2.4 has been released by Jamal Mazuri. Man, it seems like he's always releasing something. Last week he released TextPal 3.6. And just some minor updates with some drive changing commands and interfacing with the JAWS API and things like that. You can learn more or actually just get the software at www.empowermentzone.com/dirsetup, D-I-R-S-E-T-U-P dot E-X-E. You can just get the program from there. TextPal 3.6 can be gotten at www.empowermentzone.com/palsetup, P-A-L-S-E-T-U-P dot E-X-E. And highly recommend those programs.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, he's also started a project of coming up with a new tutorial for developers as well. Actually, it's not necessarily new. This is something that Chris Hofstetter has started. And if you monitor the programming list, the program-l list and the blank programming list, then you'll know quite a bit about that. He's looking for people to contribute both for C# as well as VisualBasic.net type code examples and ways of doing things inside the environment. So, Jamal, not sure how he does his job as well as does all these other things. He's pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing, busy guy for sure. Hey, everyone, the United States Senate website has a little bit of an accessibility problem. If you go to senate.gov and you select your state from the combo box, press tab to the go button and hit enter, it doesn't do what you'd expect. It doesn't give you your list of two senators for your state. So instead, well, so I wrote a note to the Senate webmaster last Friday evening. I got a response on Monday, yesterday that is, and essentially they will work the problem and try to get that resolved. And in the meantime, if you need to contact your senators, go to senate.gov, tab down to senators, press enter, and then there is a list of all the senators.
We want to thank Don Barrett, actually, for bringing this to our attention last week. And you can actually do it with your screen reader as long as you route and actually click with the mouse. But you really shouldn't.
The government website, that's
yeah, you really shouldn't have to do that. That's you know, especially for being a government website. So, okay, Gerald, do you have anything else tonight in reference to the area of tech?
I believe we are all set for now.
Okay.
We'd recommend everyone kind of stay in touch with your favorite blindness tech blog.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll keep up the ACB Radio blog as well with pertinent updates in reference to tech, and so keep an eye on that. And so all right, well, let's before we bring on our guest from GW Micro, let's go ahead and hear this week's edition from Access Watch all about dictionary.com. go ahead and take it away, Jamie.
This week, I would like to review another was dictionary.com. This website does exactly what you would expect it to do. It's a place where you can easily look up definitions for words. But there's a lot more to the site than that. If you subscribe for a fee, you can listen to audio pronunciations of words. I find, however, that the pronunciation key is actually quite easy to use with speech. When I first found the site, I was needing to know how to properly hyphenate words. And this site allows you to easily see where words should be properly divided. For ease of accessibility, and for just simply doing what it needs to do with no hassle, I'm going to give this website a 5 rating. Check it out at www.dictionary.com. Come visit us at www.accesswatch.info. Check out the Access Watch blog at http://accesswatch.wordpress.com. Have a great week.
You're listening to Main Menu Live, airing at 2 hours Universal on Wednesday. To participate in the show, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
That's right, and the phone lines are indeed open.
Don't forget MSN Messenger.
That's right. And what is that address, Daryl?
MainMenu@acbradio.org.
Okay.
That's MainMenu@acbradio.org. Add us and chat with us. We'll help you out as best we can.
Yeah, and there's, by the way, one more little bit of tech news. This month there's going to be a new version of Messenger Plus Live coming out. We'll give everybody the heads up on what's new in that in the coming weeks here on Main Menu Live.
In relation to one of the stories that you just discussed, Jeff, I would ask Raul a quick question after we introduce him.
Okay. Well, without further ado, let's bring him on. Hello, Raul. How's it going, buddy?
It's going pretty good there, Jeff.
Yeah, it's great. How is the land of GW Micro treating you?
It's treating me very well. It's been quite adventurous getting here.
And, yes, yes.
Working at GW Micro has actually been a very tremendous experience so far, and I see it being nothing but a positive thing.
So what is it like, before we actually get into to the real topic, what is it really like to actually work, there alongside of Mike and Aaron and all the rest of the gang that's over there? Is it what you would have expected, or is it different, or how? What really is it like? I've worked at a lot of different companies in reference to doing development work, but I would think it would be a pretty special environment working with an AT company.
Well, it certainly is a unique experience. It's not really what I expected, but it's not a negative thing at all. And the only reason I say that is I've been interacting with GW Micro since the days of Vocalize. And we're talking Vocalize 2.2, early 90s. And, throughout the years, I've kind of come to get to know Mike and Aaron and some of the other people, even though it was mainly on a professional level, as the years went by, and then being a private beta tester and all that. When coming here and actually working with these people in person, it's almost as if I'd been doing it for quite a while already. It's just, we just all fit together. And so that's what I mean by it's not quite what I expected, because I was expecting this to be more of, you started working for a new company and there's that initial awkwardness of getting to know your coworkers, and sometimes when you're getting to know coworkers, it's not really a standoff situation, but it's just more of everyone's a little distant until they get to know you.
I think nervous is probably a real good word.
Well, nervous. Maybe that's a good word.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that way at all here at GW. It was just, I just came to work like nothing, and it's like I'd been there for years already.
That's cool. That's great.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Okay. You want to pick it up, Daryl?
Okay. So, Raul, before we get into the voice sense, which I know is our primary topic this evening, I wanted to ask you about the Windows Live Mail desktop client. It's been in beta for quite some time. I tried it, and I actually got rid of it. I'm still using Outlook Express because while I wouldn't say that it's particularly I wouldn't say it's grossly inaccessible, but certainly to work with screen readers, I found it to be definitely in need of polish, and I didn't really have time to mess with scripting or set files or anything like that for it. So is GW Micro aware, well, I'm assuming you guys are aware of it, but is work being done to polish up that client for the time when it ultimately will take the place of Outlook Express?
Well, we certainly are aware of the situation with it and the fact that it's not completely up to par in the sense of accessibility. And we maintain a constant relationship and constant contact with Microsoft developers so that, certain things that come up, as they come up, we usually try to work with them. And it's not always a guarantee, but it's usually in a positive sense so that things can work to everyone's mutual satisfaction. And, as far as the Windows Live desktop client there, it's something that we hope that it's going to be totally accessible by the time it really comes out, but really that's all the information I have.
Well, the only thing that I know about this is what I just read a couple of days ago on their blog, and what they said was that this new version of the client is not necessarily going to look anything like the older client. They have done some major redesigning of the new version that's going to be coming out in public beta this month. And I don't know if GW Micro has had an opportunity to get a pre-release of that. At least the people who were involved in the beta, even before the public had access to it, we haven't seen it either. So I think it's hard to really say. I think we may all be surprised as to what that's going to end up looking at. The only thing that I hope that they fix for sure is this issue of focus when you up and down arrow in messages and it jumps focus into the actual message text.
Oh my, yes.
That is extremely annoying, and
That's what got it uninstalled.
Yeah, exactly. So it's let's just hope they at least fix that, because that would make me probably use Thunderbird.
Hey, Thunderbird works pretty well, but that's for another time.
Well, yes, it actually works quite well with Windows. I know that GW Micro has done quite a bit of work to make sure that's done. They've had a pretty good relationship with the Mozilla Foundation in getting that done. So that's really cool.
One of the ironies about Thunderbird is, as far as when Windows 6.0 came out, is there were some features with Thunderbird that actually started working with Windows 6.0, and we hadn't specifically done anything at that time with Thunderbird, and it just magically worked thanks to some of the updates that we did between 5.5 and 6.0.
Very cool. Okay, Raul, so, Timothy on MSN asks, will Windows XP users get this new version of the Windows Live Mail desktop program?
Yes, they will.
Yes, they will. Okay.
Yep, it's going to replace Outlook Express and the whole bit. So, yep, everyone will get it.
All right, so it just means we gotta kind of watch that and deal with it. So, Raul, go ahead and take it away on the Voice Sense, which is our main topic for this evening.
Yeah, if you have any questions, you can call in, by the way, 866-400-5333, 866-400-5333, 866-400. Jeff.
Or send a message to on MSN Messenger to mainmenu@acbradio.org.
All right, well, the Voice Sense is JW Micro's newest line of note-taking devices. It will literally fit in the palm of both of your hands. So it's if you were to hold it in front of you, you could put both of your hands together with your thumbs tucked underneath, and it's basically the length of your eight fingers that are showing from left to right. And depth-wise, front to back, it's maybe about the length of your palm, so you could easily take your hand and wrap around the unit. It'll fit in a deep pocket, you know, like a front pant pocket or a deep shirt pocket. And to kind of give you a little bit of the specifications for it, it has a CF card slot as well as an SD card, a USB port, built-in wireless for internet connectivity, and it also has an FM radio, media player, Daisy player, database manager, and address book, as well as a word processor and file manager, to kind of give you some of the details of it. It has 1 gig of memory for its flash card, flash drive, rather. It's 1 gig of memory. And it can be used as a removable device on your Windows machine, so you can plug it in and Windows can see it as a sort of like a USB drive. It gives it a drive later and you can add files to it that way. It uses the Eloquence speech synthesizer, and for the input, the way you type into this unit is it's got a Perkins style QWERTY Perkins style keyboard. And the keys are ergonomically designed. It fits very, very well with all your fingers. It has the standard six keys with the space in the middle. And then to the left of dot three, you got a backspace. To the right of dot six, you have the enter key. There are four function keys, two to either side of the space bar, and then there's scroll keys to either side of those. And all that, as I mentioned, is contained in that size of a unit. So it's pretty small and very light.
Yeah, that's what I noticed when I was at CSUN and actually got my hands on it and threatened to steal it from Clarence. I noticed that how tiny it was. It seemed to be very, very, very small, and meaning that it would be really, really portable. Now this is a similar product, of course, to the. I would probably call the granddaddy product the Braille Sense, right?
That's correct.
Okay. How does it differ? I noticed there were a few technical differences. There's actually some enhancements to this that are not on the Braille Sense. Is that right?
That is correct. Let me first say that even though this has some enhancement over the Braille Sense, it doesn't mean that we're leaving the Braille Sense behind. I know that some users have been concerned about that. We have had calls on that, so not to worry. Just because the Voice Sense is here doesn't mean that the Braille Sense is going away.
No, it probably means that as you replenish the stock for the Braille Sense, you'll probably bring those feature sets forward, right?
I mean,
it's more
exactly.
It's probably more a manufacturing. We have X number of these units, and we got to sell them. So
right,
yeah, okay.
But pretty much some of the. No, some of the differences that stand out is the Braille Sense has 64 megs of internal flash memory, whereas I mentioned the VoiceSense has 1 gig, so there's a bit of a difference there. The BrailleSense has 2 CF card slots, whereas because of the size, the VoiceSense only has 1. And the BrailleSense does not have a built-in wireless like the VoiceSense does. And then the BrailleSense does not have a radio. But the BrailleSense does have a built-in 32-cell Braille display. And so if you want an all-inclusive unit that's just, you know, a one-unit bit that's going to have the Braille display right along with it, you know, then the BrailleSense is, you know, something that you may want to go with. And the fact that CF card slots, and you can get them in 8 gigs even, you know, the memory, the internal flash memory really is a non-issue.
Hmm. Wow, 8 gig now, huh?
Yep.
Wow, okay. I've just been shopping around for 4, so I guess
yeah,
I need to go look again.
Yeah, 2 and 4 seems to be the kind of the norm right now, but the 8 gigs are cutting edge.
Yeah, hey, we got a question on MSN. So this person asks, knows that it has a built-in, you know, it has the Perkins-style Braille keyboard, but can you connect a QWERTY keyboard?
You can connect a USB keyboard to it.
Okay.
And there are, you have to learn the certain kind of commands that it's going to take, but yes, you can connect a keyboard to it.
Oh, so there's of course going to be a different command structure. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because you're not dealing with the same QWERTY type
right.
strategy that it has. Now, what about Bluetooth keyboards and that type of thing? How portable? I mean, similar to, you know, other portable products that you know, you guys have that have that technology. Does this have that as well?
Yes, and I apologize, I forgot to mention, it does have a Bluetooth manager also built into it, whereas you have to use a little Bluetooth device for the BrailleSense. The VoiceSense does have one built in, and so that'll allow you to you know, transfer files or, you know, connect to different devices. There are certain Bluetooth devices it will not connect with, but that's it still has it in there.
Now, does this sort of compete with the Icon then? Is that kind of where you're targeting this to kind of compete with something like that, or is this sort of just the lower level of say the BrailleSense, or is that kind of what, you know, you wanted to get something into the hands of people who didn't necessarily want Braille?
Probably a little bit of both, really. You know, we want people to know that if they want a small size note taker, they don't have to get something like the BrailleSense, where some people may feel that due to the Braille display and due to the fact that it's thicker, you know, it's not going to fit in their pocket. And so we, you know, this way there's that option there, and plus, you know, without having the Braille display, it is a little on the cheaper side. You know, and as far as you know, feature for feature, you know, we do want people to know that there is something out there other than the Icon that they can get.
Okay. Well, let's kind of go through, if we can, are we kind of done with the hardware description of it, or did you want to cover anything else in reference to that?
No, I think we're ready to go ahead and power this thing on and show everybody what it sounds like and some of the menu structure and all that.
Okay. Actually, we have a caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Good evening. This is Keith. I have a couple quick questions about the VoiceSense.
Okay, if you can ask your questions and then listen on the air, that would be great, Keith.
I sure will.
Okay, go right ahead, sir.
Okay. Do you know what the GPS, the cost for the GPS and the replaceable battery will be, and will the GPS have the exact same features of the GPS on the voice note and Braille note?
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, did you get that, Raul?
I sure did.
Okay.
Currently, we don't have any pricing structure available for the GPS, but we are working on that, and we hope to have that finalized here. We're in the final processes of getting all the small details worked out, and the same is true for an extra battery. We haven't designed a price structure yet for all the accessories for the VoiceSense.
Now, is that a user replaceable battery, or is that something where, you know, someone's going to have to go to a dealer and have them, you know, take the unit apart, or how does that work?
It is user replaceable.
It is, okay,
yes.
Good. Oh, that's very, very good.
And that's one of the other features that the BrailleSense also has, is a user replaceable battery.
Well,
so what type of, is it a battery that you get from DW Micro, or is it a battery that you can get off the shelf, and what's the battery life?
It is a battery that you have to get from us. It's proprietary. And as far as the battery life goes, I've played with this unit and gotten, about 10, 12 hours out of it. Of course, using things like the wireless connection and the Bluetooth manager is going to use up more battery than if you use, you know, just the word processor and you know, some other things, you know, that are a little less battery intensive. But you know, you're about 10 hours, and we're talking about 3 or 4 hours charge time.
Oh wow, only 3 or 4 hours, huh?
That's pretty good. We're getting a couple more questions on MS and Windows Live Messenger as well.
Okay, go ahead, Daryl.
Okay, Peter asks, are the VoiceSense and BrailleSense manufactured by HIMS, the same Korean company?
Yes, they are.
And we have another one from Carl. Is there any sort of hardware upgrade available for those who already have a BrailleSense and would like the new features when they come out on that platform?
There is no hardware available. As I mentioned before, one of the biggest concerns that people had was memory, you know, the flash memory,
mm-hmm.
Due to the ease availability of memory cards and the card slot. That's not really something that we've really addressed. As far as some of the other things like the built-in Bluetooth and the built-in wireless and all that, that's something that more than likely won't be added to the BrailleSense due to the way the hardware is done. But software updates are in the future, you know, and there are definitely possibilities as far as the software portion of it.
Yeah, and it definitely is firmware upgradable. We've actually seen updates announced on your website, and
yep.
People can go up there and download those and actually upgrade their hardware that way. So, hey, I know this is really not something that, because you guys probably don't even sell these things at GW Micro, but I know you're a geek, so you'll probably know the answer to this because you just tend to know these things.
All right. That's putting me on the spot,
all right. Yeah, well, no. Because, you know, we keep talking about these 4-gig and 8-gig cards. Have you looked at the pricing on these 8-gig cards?
I actually haven't. I've been meaning to, but I haven't.
Yeah.
I can usually find things on Newegg or PriceWatch. Those are the two first places I would check.
Yeah. I was just curious. I know that 4 gig are actually relatively inexpensive, and I know you're probably going to pay a little bit of a premium for 8, but I wouldn't think it would be too bad. I don't know. It'd be interesting to look. Do you know, Daryl?
No, I don't know much about the pricing on the 8 gigs, but. The VoiceSense has a USB port, right?
Yes.
Can it act as a host as well as a client? So could someone plug a thumb drive into that?
Oh yeah, good idea.
The USB port that it has is one that allows you to just plug, allow it to act as a. I'm getting host and client mixed up here. You can use it as a removable, but you can't.
You can't connect it to other devices.
Right.
Okay, so you can't plug like a thumb drive in it and access the data on that.
Right.
Okay. And I know
whether that's made available in the future or not. We haven't decided on that yet.
Yeah, I don't know if that's controllable via software or not. Do you know?
I really don't.
Yeah, I don't know. That may be more of an engineering.
Peter says that you can get eight gig. SD cards for about $100 now.
Holy cow! I bought a 1 gig one for $100
right.
About 2 years ago. That's
from fairly well known sources too, like Newegg.
Oh, that's just sickening. When you think about what things cost just a couple of years ago.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, should we power this puppy on and kind of go through what software features it has, and
all right.
And I know you mentioned a couple things like the Daisy Player While we're thinking about DAISY, do you handle the new NLS digital format that's coming out?
We're hoping to. We don't currently.
You don't currently. Okay. I didn't think so. I'm not sure even NLS has it fully documented for everybody to start developing to yet.
Right.
But they may. I just don't know. That is actually someone we want to try to get on Main Menu to come on and talk to everybody about the NLS program. We're going to work hard on that. So, okay.
All right, let's fire this thing up.
All right.
By the way, Peter says those are compact flash cards.
Okay, I just powered it on.
MSN Messenger, menu item, nickname, E, common dialogue, enter P.
And as you heard some various things, you heard a little chime in there as it said power on, and then MSN Messenger came up because that's the last application I used. Which, by the way, is another feature. It has a built-in MSN Messenger client.
Wow.
And then you might have heard a little chime in there right after everything was talking. That was the wireless connection telling me that it found my wireless network here at home, and it's now connected onto the Internet. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cancel out of MSN Messenger here and go to the main program menu.
List item. Line Wonder Online 5 for MSN Messenger and...
Okay, now let's go ahead and start at the top of the list, and I'll just kind of down arrow through so you guys can hear all the options from the main program group.
File manager, F.
Okay, so the first one is the file manager, and as you can hear, it's going to tell you the letter, which is the shortcut key, so you can just simply just press that letter, and it will go to that particular program and open it. So the first thing was the file manager, and that's pretty self-explanatory. It lets you manage and cut, copy, paste, zip, send to, create, delete, all kinds of file operations. So it's pretty much the same thing as like the Windows Explorer windows on your Windows machine.
Word processor, W.
And there's the word processor. One thing that I'd like to mention, in all the various programs that you interact here with, you can enter the information in either grade 1, grade 2, or ASCII Braille. And the neat thing about it is, like, for example, if I'm typing a Word document or in the word processor and I'm typing it in grade 2, I can save it as a doc file, an RTF file, a TXT file, or just a Braille file, and it does the translation for you. And as I go through these, if you have any questions or if, you know, whatever, feel free to stop me.
Sense navigation, please.
Sense navigation, and actually it reminds me of another question I forgot to answer from the caller earlier. My apologies on that. This here is the GPS portion of it. The other question I forgot to answer is, are the navigation keys in the style going to be similar to like the Braille note? And the answer is yes. We are working closely with him to make sure that the hotkeys that people may be used to from a Braille note are also going to work with the voice sense navigation so that there's a smaller learning curve. One of the advantages and one of the neat features I like about the voice sense and the Braille sense for that matter is the fact that you can do things in multiple ways. If you know the shortcut key, you can certainly use the shortcut or hotkey, or you can go through the menu system similar to how you can navigate in Windows. If there's multiple ways of doing things. So that's the GPS there, the sense navigation.
Address manager, A.
The address manager is a database that contains, ways for you to manage your address book, basically. Name, phone number, email address, web address, fax, that kind of stuff.
Schedule manager, S.
And the schedule manager is simply that. You can enter in appointments and, keep track of your busy life.
Before you move on,
sure.
About that, will that synchronize to Outlook and back and forth? Do you know if that's something that you'd be able to take your calendar?
I don't know, but I don't think so.
Okay.
And that's something I could certainly verify and maybe answer that somewhere else, somewhere here and there. But I really don't know, but I don't think so.
Okay.
Email E.
Email. This has a built-in email client, as does the Braille Sense, which is another thing I forgot to mention earlier. It has so many features, it's sometimes hard to remember them all. And again, email is the same thing. When you type in an email message, you can type it in grade 1, grade 2, or ASCII, and it'll come out in readable format when you send it.
Now, with the email, I suppose you can access POP3. What about IMAP, and what about secure IMAP or POP3 connections?
Currently, only plain POP3 is accessible, or available, rather. IMAP is not implemented, and SSL is not implemented, and we're hoping that that's going to be something available in the future.
A lot of university campuses now, including mine, where I work, are really beginning to force everyone toward using SSL connections to get at email, to make sure passwords are encrypted and things like that. So,
yep, and rightfully so.
Yeah. Well,
so that's why we're hoping that this is going to be something that we can have a fix for, or rather an update for.
One of the really tricky things, and I know that that this is definitely not going to be handled because it's definitely beyond the scope, but they're even getting to the point now where wireless devices, if they're not Windows-based, they're not letting them on the network because they can't guarantee that they're fully patched and virus-free. So kind of frightening.
That is.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if they have WPA2?
Oh, if you have WPA2, then you're okay.
On the subject of wireless, currently WPA, period, is not allowed, just WP.
Just web?
Or available, yep, just web is available just on the voice end.
I suppose, though, that's probably something that's software upgradable, I would imagine.
That's eventually. I would hope so.
Yeah, I would think that would be. Although.
Depends on the chipset of the radio in it.
Knock on wood. Or Formica.
The icon has the same problem. So.
All right, and then moving on.
Media player.
Media player. As you can imagine, this is to play audio. It's going to play WAVE, MP3, WMA, and I discovered by accident that it will also play Ogg Vorbis.
Oh, cool.
Which I thought was a neat thing. It also has a recorder. So you can use this to record things. It'll currently record them in WAVE. To some people, that's a good thing. To others, it's not a good thing. For a audio engineer type person like myself, I think that's a great thing because I don't want things compressed if I have to edit them and fix them. But for someone working with, wanting to record something and wanting it compressed on the fly like a lot of recorders do, that could be, something that needs to be done for a future upgrade. So currently, when you record, it'll just record in WAVE.
Now, can you hook up external mics to that, or is it just use the?
You certainly can.
Oh, great! Okay.
On the front of the unit.
Is it stereo?
I'm sorry.
Is it stereo?
No, it isn't. It's mono.
Okay.
I mean, if you connect an external mic.
I haven't tested a external stereo mic with it, so I really don't know on that. And I apologize for not having all that.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
No problem at all.
Okay. Next feature on here.
Radio R.
The radio. Currently, the radio is just an FM radio, and I imagine that's all it's going to be. Most of the portable devices I've seen out in the market just are going to support FM, and that's what this one does. It supports FM only, and it allows you to scan a little at a time on the frequency, or it'll allow you to jump to the next found station. And
does it tell you what frequency you're on?
Yep, it sure does.
Cool.
It's everything on here is it's going to give you all the audible feedback you need.
Web browser E.
And the web browser. Web browser obviously is to browse the internet. You can go to secure sites, you can visit regular sites, and there are some websites that we have found that are accessible, and the links are visible with IE 6 and 7 and Firefox 2, which we can't see certain links on here with the voice sense, and that's more of a development issue, I would imagine. I don't know. I'm not very technical on the web end of things. Maybe you can shed some light on that, Jeff.
Yeah, hard to say. It depends on what browser platform that's built on. Is that is that like a Pocket IE version or?
Yeah, it's similar. I mean, because the software here runs on Windows CE 5.
Okay.
So I imagine it's some sort of a Pocket or CE version of something. You know how they of the browser. I'm not fully up on the specs on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this something, and you probably don't have the answer to this, but I'll ask it anyway, and I'm not even sure if it's even technically possible due to the Microsoft specs, but we've talked a little bit in the past few weeks here on Main Menu Live about Windows Mobile 6, and I'm just wondering, is this hardware something that could fall into that category, or is that something that is going to be looked at maybe in the future, or it maybe just be, you know, beyond the scope of what the current product is? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that I really don't know.
Okay. That's probably more of a HIMS engineering question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And with the web browser, it gives you all the standard features. You can add favorites to it. You can go to direct URLs. You can stream media. All your basic type features of a web browser.
Oh, good. You can listen to ACB radio on it.
That's right.
There you go.
Daisy player.
And there's the Daisy player, as I'd mentioned before. One interesting thing that I found, that this is kind of a minor detail, but we've seen this from testing. When you're using the Daisy player and you want to open something that's in a certain folder, instead of pressing Enter on the folder with the files to actually do it, you have to actually select the folder with the space bar, and then the Daisy player will see it and open it. And so it's something that I'm kind of throwing out there because it has thrown out a couple of our, some of the BrailleSense users out there, because it works in a similar format. And so that's just something to keep in mind. And, of course, we're going to document all this. Okay, next one.
Bluetooth Manager.
There's our Bluetooth Manager, which, of course, will allow you to connect with other Bluetooth-capable devices. We've used it to move files back and forth, and it works really good that way.
MSN Messenger.
And there's MSN Messenger, which of course allows you to chat instantly. I've been playing with this. I played with this a lot over the weekend to familiarize myself with it. And at first, it can be kind of awkward if you're managing multiple conversations at once. But with a little learning and practice, you really get used to it. The thing that I had to really watch for with the MSN Messenger is that I had myself set for typing in ASCII, but I didn't know that, and so I was typing in grade 2, and so it left it as ASCII, and so essentially the people I was chatting with saw gibberish when I was typing. So that's something to watch for. Space G is your friend when typing in places. It's going to switch the different grades from ASCII to grade 1 to grade 2.
That's interesting. They'd probably see emoticons and things appearing on their screen if they're on a Windows platform, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's interesting you mention emoticons, because to type in a smiley face, I had to switch to ASCII, because the colon right parentheses is a lot easier to do. It's more doable in ASCII Braille than it is in grade 2.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, I just switched it, but that's the beauty of this little unit. You can switch on the fly, do your thing, and it's. It's all there.
We did get a question from Jose, speaking of translations. Does this support any Nemeth code, or are there any tools for it to do so?
I'm not really sure I understand the question as far as...
So for expressing mathematics.
Yeah, Nemeth Braille.
Braille.
Oh, I see. I really don't know. We haven't worked with it. At least, I can't say we. I haven't worked with it much with Nemeth and mathematical Braille. I've seen it do its translation in writing, but I haven't really done any extensive work with it on that. But that's something I can certainly, get back with him on, when I find out the answer.
Yeah, we'll let you give your contact information, and then people can follow up with you if they have any specific...
Okay, yeah, because I'm, anyone's free to write GW Micro on our support box or...
exactly.
My email address, and I'll make sure and get answers.
Okay, good. And there's also there's a mailing list for the BrailleSense and the VoiceSense, isn't there?
That's correct. And for now, it's just mainly for BrailleSense questions, since the VoiceSense isn't officially out yet. But VoiceSense questions are certainly welcome there. as far as what's going on. And that's GW-NoteTaker. And you can actually subscribe to those from our website if you go to www.gwmicro.com, go to the support link, and then from there go to email list. There's a little form that you can fill out, and it shows you all the different lists that we have. The default one is GW Info for general GW Micro product questions, but if you down arrow on that particular combo box there, you'll see the GW Note Taker list.
You have a ton of lists, too. I went there the other day because I was switching around some email addresses, and I was kind of shocked to see that. I think you have 7 or 8 on that in that list. It was pretty surprising.
Anybody is welcome to join any of those discussion lists and ask questions there as well. We, the staff, monitor those lists constantly and are always actively participating.
Yeah, even on the weekends, it seems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And heck, for years I participated at GW Info even before I worked for the company. I think I deserve some back pay or something.
Oh, wow. we'll put in a good word with Doug for you, and we'll see. See if we can make it happen.
All right, moving on.
Database Manager, E.
Database Manager. That's another one I hadn't mentioned before, or if I didn't, I meant to. You can create your own custom databases, and put any size table, field names to be able to put data into, and then you can export those. I've only played around with exporting them to text, but it's certainly even in the manager here. If you have to search records or search through the different things, it's very quick, very fast, and it's very easy to use. That's another thing. The database manager and the MSN Messenger are the two things that I taught myself how to use this weekend to be up to par with. And it's actually one of my favorite features of the unit is the database manager. Okay, next one.
Utility.
We're kind of getting to the bottom of the menu here. Utility menu kind of has all the miscellaneous things that didn't kind of fit into the main program group. In there you'll find things like a calendar, a calculator, a stopwatch, wake-up utility. It'll actually wake up and, you can use it as an alarm clock deal. So you can find things like that. That's in the utility managers where you set up the internet connection. You can check your network status, and so that's all under there. You can upgrade the software to it. You can do the firmware upgrade to it, and that's all in utilities there. And then next one,
option settings.
Options. That's where you can turn things on and off. Like if I had full punctuation, it would be saying options left parentheses O right parentheses. You can set it so that as you type, you only hear the characters, or you hear the characters in the words, or you hear nothing. You can set things like whether the hotkeys are on or off. You can set the voice tone, rate, pitch, all that kind of stuff. Although the voice settings can also be changed on the fly, which I can demonstrate here too briefly. And then after options, we have
help.
The help menu, which has the entire manual loaded onto it in different sections. There's pretty much one section for each of the programs that we just went over in the main program menu. And that covers the main program menu.
Okay. Now, the VoiceSense is not currently shipping then, is that right?
That is correct. It's not.
Okay, so when will it be available?
We are hoping that it's going to be available by the summer convention.
Okay, so during the ACB convention and such. Okay. Okay, great. And do you guys have pricing? I know you had some pricing structure at CSUN for it.
Right. The normal price is $1,895. However, between now and July 15th, if you place a pre-order, it's $1,795.
Okay. Okay, good.
And did you want me to open up one of these programs to just kind of show?
Well, we're actually, this hour has gone by extremely fast, and I wanted to kind of wanted to at least give you an opportunity to mention real briefly. We have about 3 or 4 minutes left.
Okay.
and I wanted to give you an opportunity to mention the new Braille displays that you guys are offering now. And then I didn't know if you wanted to give any Windows 6.1 updates or anything
okay.
Or anything like
that.
So, yeah, we have about 5 minutes or so.
Okay. The two new Braille displays, I'll basically talk about them as if they were one, because the only difference between the two is that one is a 20-cell display and the other one is a 32-cell display. Other than that, the rest of the information I give you is basically going to be equal to both. The displays are called the Think Braille, and it is an extremely, and I do mean extremely light, Braille display. On our website, we have their little specs on how much it weighs, but we're talking ounces for the weight. It connects to your machine through a USB port, and it's got the only keys on there, other than the standard cursor routing keys above each cell, is scroll keys to the right and to the left, and that's it. And this is another product that's also manufactured by the same people, HIMS, who manufacture the Braille Sense and the Voice Sense. The advantage of this Braille display is that you can connect it to the Voice Sense, basically giving the Voice Sense Braille display capability, so that you can use it that way. And then, of course, you can connect it to your PC, and WindowEyes is going to work with them. The cells are extremely quiet and very, very easy to read. They're very, very clear. It's a very clear display. And, again, that lightness and that portability is what is definitely a plus.
Okay, great. Daryl, did you have any questions in reference to the Braille displays or in reference to the Voice Sense?
I don't have any myself, and I don't have any more coming in on MSN Messenger, so I think we're all set.
Okay, good. Okay. All right, and I know, obviously, WindowEyes is your flagship product.
Right.
And wanted to at least give you an opportunity. I didn't know if you had any updates or anything that you wanted to share in reference to. I mean, obviously, we know that it's out and it's available, and you can get it at, the upgrade page and, that kind of thing. But I didn't know if you had any messages to deliver in reference to anything that you guys wanted mentioned here tonight in reference to it.
Well, actually, there's about three things that I'd like to mention.
Okay.
About Windows 6.1.
Okay.
The first thing is that if you want a 6.1 CD, if you're a current 6.0 user, you can currently get the CDs for $5, and that price is good through this Friday. And the reason for that is it's because of the fact that 6.1 is a free upgrade to 6.0 users. Typically, we don't send out CDs like that. Usually, if you want a CD for a new version that's a free version, we charge a replacement cost of $20 plus shipping. But we're doing a $5 special for anyone to get a CD. Part of that reason is because if you're going to install WindowEyes on Windows Vista, you have to install it from the CD. But we're not excluding Windows 2000 and Windows XP users. We certainly encourage anyone using Windows 2000 and Windows XP to upgrade to WindowEyes 6.1. And for $5, which covers just the shipping, it's a no-brainer to get that CD.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the case that comes with it alone is probably worth $5. It's a nice case.
Yep, that's good through Friday the 11th. And you can just give us a call, 260-489-3671, and press the option for the ordering department and let them know. And again, that's if you're a current 6.0 user. The other thing I wanted to mention is that although I personally haven't used Office 2007, a couple of us here in the office, other than me, have, and are still using it. And it's WindowEyes works beautifully with the ribbon. Everything on there speaks really good, and just the access and the applications like Word and Excel and PowerPoint are just it's a tremendous access. And the accuracy you get is really good. And so, anyone that's using the Office products
know that they have that comfort there, that WinDarts are going to work with it.
Okay, and then you had a third thing?
Yep, and the third and final thing is that in Windows Vista, I'd just like to let everyone know that 6.1 works with Vista, and one of the best things about it is we have no recommendations or no suggestions as to what color scheme to use or start menu setting to use or turning anything on and off. I mean, you can literally just use it the way Vista configures things by default, and WinDarts will talk that way through all the different, you know, security screens and the sidebar and all that. So the only reason for changing those would be if you just want to, because that's your personal preference, but you don't have to worry about the screen reader wanting you to do it or the manufacturer wanting you to do it.
All right, great. Well, we really want to thank you for coming on tonight and talking to us all about the VoiceSense and the new Braille displays and giving us a little bit of an update on all things WinDarts 6.1. We really, really sincerely appreciate it.
Well, it's been wonderful being here, Jeff.
We'll have to have you back, and you need to get a show back on interactive.
I know. My 80s music is dying to be played.
Yes, indeed. We miss
Very
it.
Very cool.
Yeah, we don't have enough 80s music on interactive. All right. Well, we're just about out of time, and I'm going to go ahead and close out the show here. Next week on Main Menu and Main Menu Live, we're going to be hearing again from Rick Harmon. He's going to talk to us a little bit about JAWS for Windows 8.0 Public Beta 2 on Vista. About 20 minutes or so, he's going to talk to us about gadgets and then the ReadyBoost feature as well. He's going to talk to us about that inside of Vista. And then we're going to be hearing all about RIM and RAM from Saratech Corporation. We'll hear a review of RIM from Daryl Chandro. He'll be giving us a demonstration of that. And then we'll be bringing on President and CEO of Saratech Corporation, Mike Calvo. He'll be talking to all of you all about RIM and RAM, telling us what it is, how does it work, and giving you all the techie details on this new exciting product, giving even more access for people, especially in IT environments. That's what's coming up next week. We'll see you all then.
If you would like to contact the Main Menu production team or panel of experts heard this evening on Main Menu Live, then simply send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you have suggestions for topics or you have questions that you would like to have addressed on a future edition of Main Menu Live, then email us and we'll do what we can to answer them or cover your suggested topics on a future Main Menu Live. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on ACB Radio Mainstream for another Main Menu Live.